You're listening to Alan Brazil Up Front, exclusively on Audio Boom.
Welcome, welcome. It's Alan Brazil Up Front with Ray Parler. How are we, Ray?
How are you doing, Al? Very good indeed. Thank you
so
very much.
Up Front with Alan Brazil is sponsored by Bet on Brazil. Go to betonbrazil.com for all the latest odds and offers. Ray, let's start with England looking back, international results. I think I was quoted as saying the game was pedestrian. Mm. England never really got at them to murder them, but 2-0, job done.
Job done. As Gareth said after the game, you know, you can only do what you got to do to get the game won. And that's exactly what they did. They got the game won. And, you know, Defoe, once he scored that first goal, it was always going to be a walk in the park in the end. You know, they had lots of possession. As you rightly said, Al, could have moved the ball a little bit quicker. You know, but at times he slowed it down too much instead of really going for it. Made a couple of substitutions towards the end. Rashford and Vardy come on. Obviously, Vardy got on the score sheet. But the thing for me about the game was, why didn't he try and put Barkley on? I mean, he's been in the last seven squads, not played 1 minute. And what an opportunity to put him on. Take Oxlade-Chamberlain off in that midfield. You ain't going to concede.
Yeah.
They didn't really look like scoring from, well, one chance in the first half, which was offside, by the way. But other than that, didn't really look like scoring. So why didn't you give them a few minutes on the pitch? You know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, giving them an opportunity.
And all week I've been talking about Rashford. Why didn't he start them? Give them a go through the middle. Go on, son. Rip them. Tear them apart.
Yeah.
And yet he plays Defoe. And look, the selection of Defoe was justified with the goal. But he's going to be 82 the next World Cup finals. You know, give us a break.
Well, look, I mean, do you play for today or do you play for the future?
No, play.
I think sometimes we do play to the future too much.
Wembley, Lithuania, that's a no-brainer. Mm. Easy peasy.
Well, I like to see Rashford start. I mean, he hasn't got loads of opportunities at Manchester United because of Ibrahimovic. But certainly he's a player for the future, and he's quite an exciting player to watch, isn't he? So, but Defoe,
like,
credit to Defoe, though. You know, four years I don't think he's played since his last cap. He's come into the team and bang, there's
a
goal.
He's not going to play because Harry's going to be back. No. Harry's going to play. That's why Rashford had to get a game
me. You would probably, you know, looking at it, you know, can Defoe be on the bench? Or is he one of them sort of guys?
Maybe, yeah, maybe,
you know,
perhaps,
bring him on
yeah.
for the last 20 minutes in the World Cup.
But what about Vardy? Vardy's got to be sent to Gareth Southgate. Excuse me, I was champion last year. Mm. I'm playing Champions League next week. And I'm on the bench to, you know, a 34-year-old. What's going on?
Well, he's not getting any younger himself, is he? You know, 30 years old now. So, you know, I think that's one thing about England is that we really lack a pool of strikers. I mean, if you look at, we had Les Ferdinand on recently, and, you know, he mentioned like 7-8 top strikers.
Yeah.
You know, Robbie Fowler, Ian Wright, Teddy Sheringham, Alan Shearer, Matt Letizier, all these top players.
I go back to my Scotland time in 82, right? I had Dalglish, Jordan, Andy Gray, Charlie Nicholas, Steve Archibald. Do you know what I mean?
Is that why you didn't get a game?
I
can see why now, Earl.
I think I only get one more international goal
than you. If you scored six goals in a game, you'd have been playing every week.
What World Cup were you at again? Hold on, the medals are coming out now. Well,
the
titles and medals.
There was an holiday at the World Cup. Don't worry about that. I was having a great time.
In those days, you know, the Scotland, England, even Wales, Russia, and all them, you know, some of the players they had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nah, I was disappointed. Look, good win. England will cruise the group. Scotland will be interested in Scotland, England. Because we'll come on to Scotland. And Scotland, to be fair, it was Strachan's, perhaps, Gordon's last game. Everyone's on his back, the press, the punters, and they come up trump. Watched the game. They played well.
I'm pleased for Scotland because they kept knocking on the door. They had so many chances. I mean, I think who's the guy? Griffiths up front.
Yeah, hit the bar.
A couple of opportunities. You think it's not going to be Scotland's night, and they kept going. And Martin, who come off the bench, getting booed by the crowd.
That's shocking, that is.
You know, he pops up with a winning goal.
I said to someone, why is he getting booed? He says, because he's English. He talks English. He's English.
Right.
I'm like, dear, oh dear.
Well, they'd be certainly buying him a pint after, Al. Pint of tenants.
I tell you, it was good. He brought in, I think Celtic had six players on the side. The boy Tierney's good, but Armstrong,
Celtic,
with the left foot, is a good player in midfield.
Yep. When I watched that Old Firm game, when he scored that goal with his left foot, you could tell.
Cannon, whoosh.
Bang, no back lift.
Gordon Strachan said it might have been the best Scotland debut ever.
Yeah, well, is it? The problem for Scotland is enough players coming through like him. You know, if you look down at the under-21s and
well, you know who's going to get a job now, Ray? Malky Mackay.
Okay.
Malky's back there as supremo.
Good.
For the academies and all the young kids, and he knows what he's doing.
Okay, so that's what you need. You need them academies really blossoming and get players into the playing on a regular basis, and then suddenly Scotland could be a force again. But well, at the moment, look, they're giving themselves
June,
a chance.
Scotland, England. England will start odds-on favourites, but I don't know.
Form goes out the window, Al. I know. Form goes out the window in them sort of games. It's like a derby, isn't it? It's like
Scotland played all right at Wembley, didn't they, for 20
minutes?
Yeah,
they did, yeah. They did. So that should be a brilliant game. And look, if England played to their potential, then they should win. But these games, sometimes it doesn't work out like that.
It's interesting because Scotland now, from being no hopes, have got a little squeak now, outside chance. They've got they get a point against England. I think they've got to go away. I think they've got to go to Lithuania. I should have
got Malta.
We'll beat them, crikey.
So really, if you can get something out of that game,
we'll beat them.
Slovakia's the ones now, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the group. They seem to have gone above Slovenia now after that defeat. So I think Slovakia are the ones they've got to try and topple.
What about Windsor Park then? Belfast, Michael O'Neill, what a job.
Yeah.
Once again, Northern Ireland 2, Norway 0. They remain second in the group, 2 points clear of the Czech Republic.
Well, they're always my bankers for me. When they play at home, they're so good at home. People don't like playing there, and you know they seem to get all the crowd behind them, and they just seem to perform every single time. So, unbelievable result again. As I said before, Michael O'Neill is very similar to Scotland. You know, they've got a big pool of players that other nations have got, but what a job he does. I mean, sort of that punch above your weight. He certainly does that, and to beat a Norway side who are decent is a brilliant result. And you know, after the Euros, you know, I'm very much in a Northern Ireland camp now. I hope they can get into them finals. It'd be magnificent if they can do it.
Great support as well. They've got away support. Now, Republic of Ireland, Wales, will always remember for Seamus Coleman's injury. Listen, I've seen a lot worse, and the guys got up and walked away, but it was late, it was bad. Also, Gareth Bale getting booked. The lunge, I didn't think that was particularly bad. Two referees I spoke to Mark Halsey, who was talking about, by the letter of the law, Bale had to go. I'm like, what? Mm. Seriously, I went, what do you mean?
Well, he had to go for the ball, didn't he?
Yeah, as a striker, you're lunging to get a toe on it. Look, it was great defending, but unfortunately, Bale's caught him.
It was a real one of them sort of games that were nitty-gritty and a proper old English game, or if you like, a British game. Because, you know, the tackles were flying in and, you know, lots of a few elbows here and there. And
two Stoke players were having a fight with each other.
Two Stoke players, Alan and Whelan, had a little bit of a square-up. That'd be interesting.
Had you ever been to Stoke? There's nothing else to do.
We had Charlie Adam on, didn't we? And they said, they're going to get the boxing gloves out next week in training. So you can have a little bit of banter now. I'm sure the other players, I can't wait
Whelan
to see them.
Whelan and Allen, wasn't it? Whelan and Joe Allen.
Yeah, who would you have your money on now? I don't know. It's a tight one. I think Whelan, isn't it? Whelan?
Yeah, it'd have to be Whelan.
He's
Joe
a bit,
Allen.
Allen, yeah. He might be a little, you know, gutsy little fighter.
I don't know.
0-0 in the end, weren't the best of games, but that was well known for like the injury. A terrible injury for Coleman. He's been flying as well for Everton. So our thoughts are with him, and hopefully he should be out of hospital very soon.
No, he's out today.
And he's got a long road back now. That's the hard bit, the road back.
Ray out today, thank God, and we wish him speedy recovery. And that brings us on to the big, big Saturday fixture, the early kickoff. Seamus is Everton. They travel to Anfield. Everton have got injuries, but Lallana's injured as well for Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. So you look at this game again. Merseyside derby is always a special occasion, especially at Anfield. Ronnie Moran as well, I'm sure they'll pay tributes to him.
They will.
Before, and the Everton fans, because what he done for that club was amazing. But this is a massive game, you know, the early kickoff as well. They can really put the pressure on whoever wins this game. Everton are going so well at the moment, only 6 points behind Liverpool. So they'll be saying, can we
close the gap? I fancy Liverpool strong, really.
Yeah, Liverpool, look, Lallana's a big miss for them.
Strong.
Lallana's, but they could deal with it probably. He is a miss because he's been great form. Liverpool at home, you've got to fancy probably Liverpool slightly, but Everton are going well as well. You've got Lukaku up front. If he can play to his best of his ability, Ross Barkley, how does he react after going away with England, not getting any minutes?
He'd be hugely disappointed, but he's now just got to roll his sleeves up and say, I'll show you I'll show you what you're missing.
He's come through the ranks. He knows how important this game is for the fans, for himself. So can he step up now? Can he really show Gareth Southgate, look, you might not play me for England, but I'm going to show you how good I am at the weekend. So this is going to be an unbelievable game. I'm probably slightly with you, Al. I'll probably go Liverpool by one goal. I think it'd be a close game.
1-0, 2-1, something like that?
Yeah. I think that should be the scoreline.
Cracker. Let's look at Sunday. Let's look at the big game you'll be at, Ray. Arsenal, Man City. We're hearing that, you know, Sanchez could be off around £40 million. City, they must fancy the chances going to Arsenal.
Well,
because Arsenal at the moment are sixes and sevens.
I expect goals, Al. That's one thing. Because both defences are, you know, they're going to give you a chance. And look, the team selection would be interesting to see what Arsene Wenger does. Will he play Sanchez up top? Will he put Welbeck on the left or Welbeck up top? And Sanchez, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But Man City, we know they're great going forward. This is more of a must-win for Arsenal than it is City. You know, Man City would want to win the game, but if they got a point away from home, I think that he would be pretty happy with that. But Arsenal have to win because they're outside the top four at the moment. If they lose the game, it's going to be very difficult for them to get the top four.
A draw even, Ray,
it's not great for Arsenal.
Depending on the other games. You know, Manchester United are breathing down the necks, aren't they?
Yeah.
So United, I expect to win. They're at home to an informed West Brom. Let's give West Brom credit. Who else is there? Everton go to Liverpool around there. Tottenham. Tottenham at Burnley, not easy, Burnley. Burnley's home record. I expect an away win, but a tight one, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, Tottenham obviously going well at the moment. Pochettino's got his men firing all cylinders. No Harry Kane, so they've dealt with it so far. So they'll have to deal with that again. But Burnley have been excellent at home. So not an easy game for Spurs. And maybe that could be a draw. I might go for a draw on that one, Al.
Okay, you're listening to Upfront with Alan Brazil. It's sponsored by BetOnBrazil.com. Now, this is a betting site for all sports punters. Great odds, markets, great offers. Listening to this podcast, you can now get up to £60. That's £60 deposit match. When you use the promo code ALAN60, Alan is A-L-A-N, capitals 60. Just visit BetOnBrazil.com. Enter your promo code ALAN60 on your first deposit and we will match your deposit of up to £60. Also look out for our daily happy hour offers between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. That's the daily happy hour offers. Sign up now at betonbrazil.com. Over 18s only. Offer is new customers only. Terms apply. Betting should be fun. So please, please, please gamble responsibly. United, we don't see really much of a problem. Just the other Sunday, Ray, Euro Club Borough. Now, this is a cracker.
Mm.
Swansea Borough, 17th against 19th. A six-pointer.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge game at the bottom of the table. I think Middlesbrough will look at it and say, look, these are the sort of games we've got to try and get a result. We've got to try and get 3 points. If they're going to give themselves a chance of staying up, they could close the gap on Swansea to 2 points. It gives an opportunity. But also, Swansea will be saying, well, wait a minute. If we can win this game with the other results going our way, you know, suddenly we could be 6 points clear, of Hull City in third place, third from bottom, which gives them a massive cushion. That's if the results go their way. So a massive game for both sides.
Well, Hull are at home to West Ham. West Ham are not the best travellers, are they?
No, not at all. I mean, Hull might take that opportunity. I think Hull got to target that game as well and say, look, this is a must-win for us to close the gap.
Because time running out now, isn't it?
Of course it is.
You know, so we're in the 30th game.
Nine games left for Hull. So you're looking and saying, well, OK, we need to start picking points up because, you know, it doesn't get no easier every week. As soon as that pressure kicks in a little bit more, come five, six games left, then, you know, it really does kick in. And
see, Swansea were to draw, if they got a draw with Borough, right, Middlesbrough go 23, Swansea go 28, and Hull win, 27, 1 point in it. And Palace, I think, will get beat. They're on 28. 1 point in it again.
Well, I'm at Stamford Bridge at the weekend now. That's where I'll be. I'm probably going to be looking at the champions against Crystal Palace, Chelsea. But you can't see nothing past a home win now. Chelsea should win that. So the other teams will be looking at it saying, well, if we can get a result, suddenly brings Palace back into it. I know they're in decent form at the moment. But they'll be looking at other games, targeting. I'm sure Sam Allardyce will look at it as a bonus game. If they can get anything out of the game, brilliant. But he'd be targeting other games to get
points.
Do you
think he'll try and flood the midfield and sit tight, catch them on the break, or will he suddenly say, let's went on a hiding to nothing, nothing to lose. Let's go for it.
It's interesting to see what he does because I would probably sit in, flood the midfield because you know they're quite strong in there. Or he says, right, let's get it wide. Let's get forward. Townsend, Zaha. Let's really get at their fullbacks and push them back, you know, because Alonso and Moses, who push on themselves, if he can push them back towards their goal, it might give them a chance. So it'd be interesting to see. I hope Sam goes there and says, look, let's have a go. You know, as you rightly say, got nothing to lose. We can target other games. But then you look at the other side of it and say, well, if we can get a point and be hard to beat, you know, that'd be a massive point of safety. So
the other game we spoke about earlier, Burnley Spurs, no Harry again, so up front, probably, it'll be Ericsson or something like that, you know, Dele Alli pushing up Sonny's pace. But Burnley are physical at home. They'll miss Harry's presence.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a game that Burnley will enjoy. I mean, they're safe. What a season they've had. Look, they need a few more points to be really safe, but I think they've done enough. Sean Dyche has done a brilliant job. Still 9 games to go for them. 32 points, and he'll be targeting home games. He says, lads, look, we've been so good at home this season. Let's carry that on. And you're playing against a very good Spurs side. But I just think Burnley might grind out something in this tie. And maybe it's a, as I said before, I've gone for a 1-1 draw in this one.
West Ham, talking again, Ray. The speculation is rife again that he's on his last legs, Bilic.
Are you surprised with that?
Yes, I am. I tell you what, Ray, everyone tells me in football, what a lovely man, right?
But that doesn't win you games.
No, I just think, is he too soft? Is he too protective of his players? But to be fair to the man, I don't believe he's bought any of the players last summer. I think the board bought them, no. But they had a little wobble, didn't they? They had a little spell where you thought, West Ham are in trouble here. But it looks to me now as if they've picked themselves out of it. They're down there on 12, 33 points. So, you know, a good win takes them on level with Stoke, who are ninth. So they're not far away of getting in the top 10.
Well,
Benitez won't go. I can't see Benitez going to West Ham.
Well, we saw West Ham and Stoke struggling early on. But they've got themselves into a position now where, you know, they're going to be safe this season. Both sides. But, you know, I look at the owners and Sullivan coming out and having a go at his manager and players, and I don't think that's right. I mean, have a word with him behind the scenes and say, look, what's going on?
But they're buying the players, that's the problem.
Oh, well, the players ain't good enough.
That's not good.
Who do they have? Zaza,
I know.
People like that.
No.
You know, to West Ham standards.
What about Ray? Move on to Leicester. Vardy, we spoke of him. Leicester against Stoke. You know, Stoke again. Look, Mark, whatever you say about Mark Hughes, Stoke in ninth. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Look at 29 games, 36 points. They're a little bit, they're seven behind West Brom now. But again, where can Stoke realistically finish any higher? Probably not.
Probably not.
Top
no.
10.
You're looking at ninth.
Top half.
I think
happy.
Ninth would be their probably position. You know, you've got teams behind them. Southampton, maybe. They've got a couple of games in hand. Could probably go above them. Bournemouth at 33 as well. West Ham on 33. But you always think a Stoke is going to be about 10th, 9th, 10th. You know, every single season. They're consistent now.
Yeah.
And that's what Bournemouth have got to get to. Eddie Howe, that he stay. You know, when you start the season in August, you don't expect them to be in a relegation battle. And I think Stoke have done that. When they first come up, everybody had them 1-4 on to go straight back down, not good enough. But now they're established Premier League side. And, you know, I think they're doing the ground up at the moment. It's one of the coldest grounds I've ever been at, to be fair. But it's an atmosphere.
There,
it's an atmosphere. I tell you what, when they start getting behind the team, it's a tough place to play if you're an away team. And Mark Hughes knows that. But looking at this game, Leicester in totally different form now. They've got to keep on their toes now, Leicester. Look, you expect them to be safe now in the Premier League. But they've still they've still got this Atletico game in the background.
And that's there next week, isn't it?
And you just got to worry.
Is it next week or the week after? Soon.
You've just got to worry that they keep their foot on the pedal in the Premier League to keep them going into that game in good momentum.
Man U against West Brom. West Brom looking to maybe nick it on a set piece, but I think United will be too strong.
Yeah, United will be too strong for
that. What about Watford-Sunderland? We read today in the papers that Sunderland, even if they go down, they'll keep Davy Moyes.
Yeah, which is good news. I mean, look, what can Davy Moyes do? He's had no budget in a window. I think we know he's a very good manager. So, you know, if he does go down, as long as they keep him at the club, Watford will be looking at it and saying, look, let's try and have a good end to the season. Again, you don't expect them to be dragged in to that relegation zone. 7 points clear of Hull City at the moment. And this would be another game that they target. So Watford say, well, come on, let's get 3 points. Push us out of danger. And then we'll be safe.
What about Southampton, the South Coast Derby, Southampton versus Bournemouth? They'll be throwing rattles at each other, won't they, down
well,
there?
Well, I think the big derby, Southampton. Pompey, yeah, absolutely. But I've got to go for a home win here, Al. I think Southampton will be a little bit too strong for Bournemouth. Look, Bournemouth have had a really good run recent weeks.
What do you make of Jack? Jack's not playing at the moment, is he?
Well, he's out of the team. And it's an interesting one because... Look, they've had some great results. Manchester United, they got a brilliant point away from home when they got down to 10 men. And then they carried on with a couple of wins. So they've got themselves out of danger now. And it'd be interesting to see how they finish the season. But I've got to go with a Southampton win. And Jack Wilshere, everybody's going to be all eyes on him in the summer. What's he going to do? Is he going to stay at Arsenal? Will he move on to another club? 1 year left on his contract. So whatever he does, whatever Arsenal decide as well, they'll have to sell him if they don't offer him a new contract.
Ray, let's just finish off. Reports today, Real Madrid very, very strong on Eden Hazard. So it looks like Chelsea are going to offer in the region of £300,000 a week.
That's not your contract at TalkSport.
No, mine's is netto. I don't pay tax. £300,000
a week.
Well,
I think he's worth it. I would think he's worth that sort of money. I think you've got to keep your best players. Chelsea... It's a lot going on with the club at the moment. They don't do it to make money, Chelsea. Like, of course, it's a business project, but Abramovich has put his money in, bang, £1 billion, whatever it is, and he's gone to win trophies, simple. They've got this new stadium coming up, and I think that Hazard, you know exactly, he knows the Premier League, he knows he can deal with the Premier League, and when you're buying foreign players, you never know if they're going to fit in, but he knows 100% he'll fit in years to come. So for me, I would keep him somehow, if you can.
But as you know...
But it's very difficult to turn down clubs like Real Madrid or Barcelona. They're the only two clubs where you think, well, look, in my career, how many times I'm going to get asked to play for Real Madrid or Barcelona?
I wonder if they could get a deal, Hazard to Real and Isco, plus money, of course, coming to Chelsea. He's a good player.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably where... And the players are holding all the cards these days. I mean, Hazard will be talking to his representatives and saying... You know, what do? You get me that from Chelsea, just in case. Or do we go to Real Madrid? And look, if Eden Hazard comes out and says, I want to go to Real Madrid, I don't think Chelsea can do a lot about it. It'd be right, Chelsea be saying, let's get the most maximum amount of money we can. Maybe £100 million be mentioned. And let's try and look elsewhere and bring in other players. And that's the problem these days. The clubs are really held to ransom, if you like. Mm. That if a player wants to leave... He'll do everything he can to leave that club.
Now, I must bring up, finally, Ray Parler, 25 years ago...
Is it that long?
...to this day, a young whippersnapper with flowing golden hair scored after a few moments very early...
Yeah, it was indeed.
...at
very
Wimbledon. Arsenal won Wimbledon now.
Yeah, 37 seconds. I got the free roll, as they say these days, from George Graham, saying, like, you're going to play just behind the front, make sure you get in the box as much as you can. But I didn't expect to score that early. And
so why did he play you there? Did he say he couldn't tackle a fish supper? His legs have gone, let's play him off the front.
Well, he thought I was a bit of a player then, but then he quickly found out I wasn't and he put me back into central midfield.
Yeah, but you scored after a few seconds. Yeah, Jimmy let you down.
Yeah, Ian Wright.
What's the story?
Ian Wright set me up for the only goal. But yeah, my brother Jimmy, we was all gambling them days. And I remember looking at the price of me first goal scorer in that game, 33-1. And they probably didn't know this youngster coming into the side. So they thought I was a defensive midfielder. And that's why I was such big odds. But they didn't know I was playing just behind the front. So I phoned my brother up and said, Jim, them days I was on about 220 quid a week. I said, Jim, puts a tenner on, 33-1. Great value. I'm playing behind the front. I could get in the box. I could nick a goal with you. I know we got Ian Wright.
That's a week and a half's wages.
I know we got Ian Wright, who's probably going to be the main man to score a goal. So anyway, I didn't expect to score that early. 37 seconds, I score. I celebrate with Merce, who liked to bet as well. Merce, I just scored 33-1. I just backed myself, 10 quid, 330 notes, happy days. Nice one. Week and a half.
Merce, lend me 100.
Oh, I should have done that, yes. I should have done that as well. Anyway, so I'm thinking, brilliant. I'm going to have a really good night out tonight. Hollywood's Romford. Oh. I'll be out. I've got a few quid in me pocket.
300 quid, you could buy it,
I might get on a champers tonight, you know, in the Hollywoods. So anyway, I'll get to the players' lounge after the game and I don't realise what's happened. And I said to my brother, What's happened, Jim? Where's my money? He went, oh, we're having a nightmare. Me and your dad got here 7 minutes late or 8 minutes late, and we asked the guy, we saw the scoreboard 2-0 to Arsenal. What happened? We asked the guy, who scored the first goal? Young kid, Ray Parlour, up front. I can't believe it. We didn't have time to go in the bookmakers because we was late. So now I'm fuming. I'm gonna knock my brother out. Seriously, we're gonna have a proper fight in the old players' lounge because he just cost me £330. In the end, obviously, I forgave him, and I stuck on lager that night. No champers out. I was gutted.
In Pizza Hut.
What was that?
Instead of Charlie Chan's. There you go, Ray Parler, 25 years ago. Can you believe it? I'd been finished about 7 years then. Jesus. Another edition of Upfront with Alan Brazil. And my thanks to the Romford Pelly, Ray Parler.
Cheers, Al.
Brought to you by Audioboom.
BetOnBrazil.com is for over 18s only. Betting should be fun, so please bet responsibly. For more on this, visit gambleaware.co.uk.